فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا قوم ادخلوا الأرض المقدسة التي كتب الله لكم صدق الله العظيم. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the choicest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi, our leader Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank and praise Allah ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings that He has bestowed upon us, and we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to make shukr for that. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika. Oh Allah, help me to remember You and help me to make shukr. It's a great ni'mat of Allah if somebody can understand the importance of acknowledging the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, my respected brothers, every believer has got love for three places. He's got love for Makkah Mukarrama. From a very young age, every little child yearns to be present at the Kaaba. Nowadays, it's become a very common practice for people to take their young children. But when we were at that young age, it was like a far away dream. When little children, Allah take us to Makkah. And the second one is Madina Munawwara. It is a desire and a heartfelt feeling for everyone that I need to go to Madina Munawwara. And the third place, as the people come to know about it, and many, alhamdulillah, are aware of it, is the third haram, that is Masjid al-Aqsa, that is in Jerusalem. It is the desire of every believer that I wish I can go also to Masjid al-Aqsa. People talk of the three harams and all the rest of that. It is because we have got a love and a spiritual affinity to that place. And, respected brothers, we also know that the Quran Kareem makes numerous mention of the importance as well as the holiness, the sacredness, and the blessedness of this place called Masjid al-Aqsa. And it is because of that we find that not only our deen is linked to that place, not only do we say our first Qibla was there, just the fact that so many Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam were present at that place and they are still buried there and so forth. And it is a place of Muslim history. And when I say Muslim history, we don't say Muslim history from the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu when the Muslims entered there. We talk of Muslim history from even before that time, because every Nabi that came there was a Muslim. And that's the one point must always keep in mind, because when the Jews want to say anything, they say Muslims only came in at that time. We say Muslims were there a long time. Suleiman alayhi salam was a Muslim. And likewise, all the other Anbiya alayhi salam, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, Sayyidina Isa, any Nabi that is linked to Masjid al-Aqsa is a Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in the Quran al-Karim also. So we say those are our Anbiya alayhi salam, and we were there long before you people even thought about it. So that being the case, we have an affinity and a closeness and a very special place in our heart for Masjid al-Aqsa. And because of the political turmoil that is carrying on there from the time we can remember, from the time we are children, we have been hearing of Masjid al-Aqsa, when the trouble started there, when the takeover took place there, when the minbar was burned there in 67, and subsequent to that, 73, and all the other issues that took place there. We've been hearing about it. We've never ever heard about a day where there was peace in Masjid al-Aqsa or in the Jerusalem area. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to that place in the Quran, Alladhi barakna hawlahu, that masjid, the precincts of which, around which, the area around which is blessed. Such a blessed place, my respected friends and brothers. And yet there is so much of this difficulty we continuously hear about. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has referred to it as Ardul Muqaddasa, the blessed and the holy and the sanctified place, Ardul Muqaddasa. So because of that, we already got the love for the place. It is holy, it is sanctified. It makes us even more closer to it. And those who, alhamdulillah, had the opportunity of going there, everyone who came and said, I want to go back there. Despite of all the harassment that took place there, the way we were kept at the border for so many hours and all the rest of that, I want to go back there. I wouldn't mind going back there. So alhamdulillah, that is the love we have for that place. But that is this, the Islamic and the spiritual aspect of it. Going back to what I was mentioning there, on the political side, there is so much of difficulty that alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even uses the non-Muslims and the disbelievers to campaign for the removal of the oppression and the occupation of the Yahudis that have occupied that place there. for a number of years now, long before 1967 also, when we find the takeover that took place there. So my respected brothers, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way of doing things. But at this point in time, for this past week, we all are aware that this week has been declared Israeli Apartheid Week. Where? In the whole world. It is said that about 250 cities all over the world, they observe and they have a campaign on this occasion known as the Israeli Apartheid Week. Now, we know apartheid. We know where that word, we grew up in it, we saw it happening. But a lot of other countries don't know what it means, but then when they see South Africa and then when they see what's happening, then they understand what apartheid means. You know, this concept of hatefully separating yourself, arrogantly regarding yourself as better than other people, regarding others as lower than you, and as a result of that, depriving them, separating them, segregating from them, keeping them low, letting them suffer as much as you can. That is what the word basically means, what? Apartheid. So we knew, we grew up in the system here, we know how we suffered. Now, my respected friends and brothers, alhamdulillah, so it is said that 250 cities worldwide have these campaigns, and there's a lot of things happening. Those who are exposed to the media in its various forms will see what's happening there. In South Africa, it is said, alhamdulillah, 25 cities do take part on a very mass scale with regard to observing some other event, creating a consciousness regarding Israeli Apartheid Week. Now, when we speak of this apartheid, and we speak of this occupation, or we speak of the apartheid of Israel, then there are some words that are associated to it. For example, the one word we used just now, we said occupation. Then another word we hear, checkpoints. We never heard of a word checkpoint in our life till we went there. There's nothing like a checkpoint here in our country and many other countries. So what is this word checkpoint? Then we have the word ceasefire. 2 days ago, again, there was a talk of a ceasefire with regard to Israel and Gaza. Then we hear of the word blockade, the blockade of Gaza. Then we hear of the word the siege of Gaza. Then we hear of the word house arrest. We hear of the word incursions, raids, roadblocks, trenches, wall, apartheid wall. We ever heard of such a thing in our life, apartheid wall. And obviously kidnappings and settlements. What is this word? This word settlement is such a painful word. Here we might say a settlement, but when you speak of the word settlement in Israel, it's got a totally different connotation. And when you know the history behind it, our heart just gets sore, my respected friends and brothers. Nevertheless, having said all this, if we have to understand some of these words, like I mentioned, the connotations behind it, one, we know what apartheid means, but one is, what do we know about the Israeli apartheid and how they exercise their oppressive system which they have made into law there, basically. How they implement it and how they make people's life difficult. So, the first word is occupation. That when they have come there and they have occupied a land that belonged to those people, the indigenous people there, and then how they started depriving them of their own homes, their own properties, their own orchards, their own lands in, as far as agriculture was concerned, and took it away by force and made it a law that by law it is ours. So the crook basically comes in your house and he makes a law and he says that bedroom is mine and that appliance is mine and that is mine and you must move out. You must move out from this room and that room and finally you must only stay in that little room there. That is basically the story of the occupation, my respected friends and brothers. Further, no right of free speech, no right of assembly, and no right of movement. Free movement, we'll come to that just now. An arrest and imprisonment without charge or trial. If a person is just suspected and he is known to be an activist or an enemy of the Israeli state, then the fellow is picked up from his house and he is carried away. When his trial comes up, that's another story. But from the time that he is carried away from his house, arrested, and not as some two respectful police officers come there and say, you are here to speak to Mr. So-and-so. No, they come at night and they carry out these raids. You must hear the story of first-hand accounts of the people that underwent this. They create a fear in that neighborhood. They break down the doors of these people and they look for the person. The children get up screaming. Everybody go huddling in the corner. They catch the fellow who they are looking for. They beat him up first in front of his children. They take away his izzat there. And then they push him into whatever vehicle they brought. Outside there's a whole ring of people, of soldiers, making sure nobody else comes there. And they drive off with that person. How they beat him up on the way, how they torture him after that, when the case comes up, that's a whole another story at another time. But this is the reality of the Israeli apartheid, and this is what happens when we speak of apartheid in that part of the world. And obviously there are no warrants as such. Here the police will say, we have come with a warrant. If somebody says, I'm here to arrest you, say, have you got a warrant of arrest? There is no warrant of arrest. We came here to take you and to take you by force. I mentioned the word torture already. Assassinations and extrajudicial killings, that has been shown to us as though it is something that is legitimate. They even did not stop at the point of destroying and killing an invalid, a disabled person who was sitting on a wheelchair with jumpers on after Fajr Salah with a helicopter gunship, and they blasted him away. And they say, we have to do it because he's our enemy. And we know the rest of it. I'm talking of Sheikh Ahmed Yassin. You cannot vote. So in other words, the Palestinians living there are not allowed to vote for the Israeli government, who the government, on the other hand, says, we control you. So we control you, but you don't vote for us. So no voting and all the rest of that. Now, my respected brothers, this is just some of the things we have brought about. As far as the water is concerned, from the time when the Israelis have taken over that part of Israel illegally, they have taken control of the water. We know the River Jordan that comes this way here. And they have taken it away in what is a very scarce resource in Palestine. And they use that as a punishment and as a means of deprivation also for the Palestinians. So that water is now diverted away from the people that are supposed to get it, who? The households, the people that have got plantations, taken away from them. And it is given to them in limited numbers as they wish, and the rest of it is diverted to Jewish settlements that have been put up there in the first place, illegally, should say illegal Jewish settlements. And just one quick statistic here, they say, for example, in the Jordan Valley alone, 9,000 Jewish settlers consume 25% of the water. And the same amount is used by the entire population on the West Bank, which is 2.5 million people. So 2.5 million people using that same amount of water, and another 9,000 people using that same amount of water. They are using four times more water than the people whose land they have come and they have stolen. Roads, we never ever heard of such a thing in our country when we had apartheid. That there are separate roads, this is we're talking of the apartheid now, you know, the segregation. That these roads are only for the use of our Jewish citizens. Palestinians don't deserve to use that road, so maybe some back road with a whole lot of potholes in it and whatever it is, and they will be allowed to use that road. And how they control that, those of us who have been there, if you want to travel on a good road on this side, your car must have a number plate whereby it is identified. Those of us who are there, we know a yellow color number plate and this color number plate to say, okay, these people are allowed. If your number plate is not right, when you come to the checkpoint, you go on that side. So a person doesn't even get to see and drive on the smart roads that are there. Law of return, we have heard about it before, that when the problem started in 1967 and before that also, when these massacres started and the Palestinians were just made to feel fear. Some places there was this Khabis who died now the other day after a whole lot of years of being punished by Allah Ta'ala on the face of the earth. Ariel Sharon, he was the one who did, he is known to have gone into some of the settlements and murdered men, women, and children. And then that fear was just planted in other places. These people are coming. As a result of which, Palestinian families fled en masse from there, and they went away. Those people, some of them, they became refugees from that time till now. They ran away with the keys of their house in their pocket that we're going to come back. There's no coming back. Israel made a law known as the law of return, meaning you can't come back. The law of return means the law of no return. That is one. The law of absenteeism is that if you are missing from your land is taken away. We were shown, many of us who have been there also, were shown villages that they are just dilapidated homes. They're just walls standing there. They said, this used to be a village. You can see a broken part of minarets there. There used to be a masjid yet. Nothing happening there. Taken over. So the law of return means the law of no return. And yes, if anybody wants to return, who? Those people who weren't living there in the first place, that is the Jews. Any Jew in any part of the world has a right to come and settle down and become a legal citizen of Israel. All he needs to do is apply for it. So that is the law, my respected brothers, of return. We spoke about the no voting, and also with regard to the property that the people own and how it is taken away. We know the place of Jenin and other places, we've heard about it, that when the Israelis were under siege, when there was this confrontation taking place, when they found children were throwing stones at the tank, then they identified who these children were. They went into the homes. No, they did not go into the homes. They came with bulldozers and they destroyed the homes of those children who were known to have been stoning the tanks. That was the most weird thing anybody heard about. There are mothers who say that our babies were sleeping in the house and before we knew, we were pushed to the ground. We did not even know what to do. And we're telling them, wait, man, our children are there. My baby is sleeping there. They didn't want to know anything about it. And one mother said, I just managed to pull my child out in time and the bulldozer was there and was busy destroying. So the bulldozers, they come, they destroy. They destroyed, level the place to the ground, my respected friends and brothers. And the next day you get a bill from the municipality charging you for the demolition, that we used our bulldozer to break your house. Like, you know, if we have to hire something here to come and do some work, then we have to pay them. So that is the kind of horrible occupation and oppression that is taking place there. We spoke about arrest of people, arrest of children. Little children are taken away from there. The children that we have going to school at that age, they are taken away, they are beaten up, they are tortured, they are stripped in the van when they are taken. Some of these children are taken away as children, and when they were released, they were youth, they were men. They came back when they were released to see their parents. They were never ever given the opportunity where their parents would come and visit them in jail. When the parents went to beg, where are our children? Then it was said that you can't see them. There were lawyers that were appointed by the government to fight the case. But obviously, the only thing that lawyer could do was just bring the sentence down by a few months. Only place in the world where children are declared as terrorists. I mean, what is the word terrorist? We know. So little kids are also referred to as terrorists. So we can understand how bad it is, or maybe we can't understand. But we find people becoming ill. You find mothers that are pregnant. They require urgent attention. And they have to race across Palestine onto the other side, and they are blocked at the borders. You heard of the word, you mentioned it before, checkpoint babies, that many women were unable to get to the hospital, and the Israelis just looked on as this woman was suffering in labor, laboring in labor, and thereafter she gave birth there. And what else ever happened in that way? So a lot of people were not allowed, and just casually, no, you can't go through, we're sorry, you can't go through. So people can suffer whatever they want to, not our problem. Then my brothers, the apartheid wall, as we all heard about it, is now the last, I don't know if it is the last straw, anybody can think of something worse than that, it can only be that it was Zionists. So my respected friends and brothers, we find this wall is planned to be 760 kilometers, and it is built in such a way that the best lands, the most fertile land, is left on this side, and the unfertile land, which is not of good, is left on the other side. And if where the land is fertile and the wall couldn't include it on the Israeli side, we find, alhamdulillah, the Palestinians are doing good business there. Good business in terms of agriculture and vegetation. It is said they get the best crops because Allah Ta'ala says, Barakna hawlahu, a lot of barakah. Now, they made a law that you cannot bring any uncooked food into Israel from this side without a permit. So we find these people make a lot of mehnat, a lot of effort on their lands. They have the product, the produce, and when they come to it here, if there is that day when the fellow decides, you can't go through, we're not giving you a permit, that entire year's crop goes to waste. You can't do anything about it. So you just have to take it back, you must give it to their own people or feed it to the animals, whatever it might be. So this wall has also cut them out in such a way, it has deprived them. Basically, they are in a prison with this wall here. Nobody could have ever thought about it. How can you put somebody behind a wall like this and think of putting a wall that is 760 kilometers long? You must be a very sick person, a very great oppressor, and a very desperate person, obviously, to be able to do that. So when we have this Israeli week, Israeli apartheid week, it is just to create a consciousness. And our appeal to our Muslim brothers from our heart is that is one place you don't forget. That is one place you don't stop making dua for. There's a lot of hot spots in the world at the moment, a lot of trouble taking place. We always make dua for them. It's rising every day we hear another place something has happened. Make sure that Palestine is first on the list always. Make dua for those people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us our dua is the best weapon. The best way we can overcome that difficulty is through our du'as. Allah will bring the day, inshallah, when these people will be liberated. But as we hear now, the way things are happening, we know that even the Jewish authorities are now calling for control of Masjid Al-Aqsa. It is in our last 1.5 weeks ago's news. They are making very, very bold overtures and moves. They just come inside from time to time, and they have some skirmish there. They take over a certain part, and then they withdraw again. They are now moving towards what their actual plan is, to take the Masjid Al-Aqsa over. And obviously they have done all the other work to cause it to collapse. May Allah Ta'ala protect it. It must not happen like that, inshallah, it will not happen. But our thrust and our focus for this particular week is that we make sure that we keep this matter of the Palestinian people foremost in our du'as, in our hearts, and we don't forget them.